show the rest of that video, but I didn't want to gross anybody out. If you know the rest of the story, he pulls out that sword and just removes his head. But I didn't want to gross anybody out this morning. I'm excited because I don't know about you, but the holiday season for me is stressful. Anybody else have a holiday season that's stressful? You know, it's just there's so much to do, and then you got family you're dealing with, and ins and outlaws, and you know it's, and so I'm always excited when that gets over. But what I'm really excited is, I love our spiritual growth campaign. We've started doing this about 15 years ago. We started doing a spiritual growth campaign, a time when we just kind of step back into our Christian lives and kind of look at our life, where we're at, and where God's taking us. And it's always an exciting time. And for me as a pastor, it's a good time because, you know, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, whether you're just checking God out, we all have this spiritual thing in us that we're trying to figure out. We're trying to walk this spiritual dimension of our life. And so that's what this campaign's all about. You know, whether you're a believer or not, you can get something out of this study, and you can get something out of this opportunity. And so it's always exciting to me. But why do we do it? You know, I started with, why do we do a 40-day study? This study on Goliath is going to be an awesome time. You know, I got a chance to go over the material, got a chance to look at it. And really what it's saying is, we all have giants in our life. There's something in our life that just hangs over us. There's something in our life that has a chokehold on us. A fear, an addiction, a regret. I don't know what it could be. You know, finances. There's all sorts of, you know, but most giants don't start out as a giant. Most giants, you know, it's just a little aggravating thing, and then it kind of grows up. You know, as we look at Goliath, we're going to be studying, you know, Goliath wasn't born a giant. He was born a baby. You know, and that's kind of our problem. It's kind of start out with a toehold in our life. You got this little thing that's kind of tripping you up, kind of getting a toehold, and it moves to a foothold, and then pretty soon it just kind of keeps crawling up until it gets a chokehold on you. And so we're going to talk, how do you deal with those giants in your life? And David and Goliath, and most of us want to be David, but I want to tell you what, we're going to get a study here, and you're not going to be David. Let Jesus be David, and he'll take out the giants for you. We're going to have a good time. But why do we do this? And I started looking at my life. I've been a Christian. Oh, this has been a really horrible week, all right? I had a good time at Disneyland, but I've been in several meetings recently, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking with individuals, and, you know, we're talking around the table, and I, you know, they started talking about things, and I find out, guess what? I'm the oldest one there. Yeah. And then I'm sitting around, we're sitting around having dinner, kind of fellowship with some people we just met at Disneyland. The lady's talking about getting old, and honestly, she does look old, okay? I say that here, I wouldn't say that to her, you know? And I'm sitting there, and she's talking about getting old, and her birthday's coming up this next week, and she's going to turn 63, and it's like, I'm already 60. I'm the oldest one at this table again. You know, it's like, well, what's going on here? You know, I've been a Christian now for 47 years. You know, and but what I realize, and what I'm looking at the spiritual growth can think about this is, you know what, I'm not there yet. I still have some growth areas in my life. The spiritual battles I still fight. You know, several years ago, many, many years ago now, I kind of picked a verse out for me that defines what it means to be like Christ. To what it mean? What does it mean to be like a Christian? And I'm going to encourage you to get your little outline out. You can follow along. And some of you are going to recognize this passage. It's what Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, and I kind of define the Christian life by these 9 characteristics, okay? And so get it out. It goes like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against sin, there is no law. I told you I'm not there yet, all right? I'm not there yet. You know, and I kind of define the Christian life with these. And when I get these in my life, I'm going to be like Christ. Love like Christ. When I'm kind like Christ. When I'm as good like Christ. When I'm as patient as Christ, I'll be that Christian. Well, I'm not there. And 47-year journey. You know, I went to Bible college. You know, I went from and I went and got a master's degree. You know, 10 years later, I go back and get a doctorate degree. You know, I pastored churches for 37 years, 34 of them here at this church. And I'm not there yet. See, we're not mature. We all have spiritual growth areas. There's things in our life that we wrestle with. There's things in our life that hold us back. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian 47 years or you've been a Christian 2 years. There's still growth to take place. I can kind of go out on the limb and say that everyone here needs growth, spiritually speaking. That none of us are mature. Now, you may be further along, and what I always did, I kind of rated myself. You know, on love, I'd probably rate maybe, I feel good about that. I'm going to rate myself like an 8 or a 9, okay? You know? Joy, I'll 9, maybe even a 10. I just, life is fun. Peace, 7. Patience, 2. You know, and I come, you know, there's this, but we're all growing. And that's what I want to challenge us with. We do these spiritual campaigns because we all have an area of growth. We're all on this spiritual journey, whether you're a believer or you're even a non-believer is on a spiritual journey. Even those questioning God and the church are on spiritual journeys. You know, and we're all in this process somewhere. And we have these things in our life that demoralize us. These things in our life that diminish. These things in our life that imprison us. There's things that we need to be set free from. That's what a spiritual growth. That's what we're going to focus on in our study. But why am I going to be asking you? Now listen. Why am I going to be asking you to make a 6-week commitment to be here for 6 weeks in a row? Think about that. I don't want you to miss a Sunday for 6 weeks. Now, some of you, that's going to be easy. Some of you, it's going to be more of a challenge. I'm going to ask you to join a small group, and you've never been in a small group. Some of you, it's part of what we do in our church. But I'm going to challenge you to get into a small group. Get with a community that will support you and encourage you. Talk about that in the message this morning. I'm going to challenge you to take part in some activities in the next 6 weeks. You know? Because we need to grow spiritually. We're not there yet. You know, I wonder if we kind of fit this description that Paul writes to the church when he wrote the book of Hebrews. Listen to what he says here. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Now, I don't think many of us are in that category. I think Paul's pretty harsh here. You know, some people are baby Christians. You know, it doesn't matter. One of my great frustrations, one of the times was dealing with an individual. He had been a Christian 2 years, but he was older than me when I was pastoring in Willits, California. And he was an elder in the church because he was an older individual, and he had been a Christian for 2 years. And yet he was so immature. If you didn't have the King James Bible, you didn't have a Bible. If I preached anything but the King James, I was in trouble. And he had all these kind of things going on. And it has nothing to do with your age. What's sad is there's some people who've been Christians for years, and they're still babies. And for me as a pastor, I don't want you to stay babies. That's what a spiritual campaign's about. I want us to grow. I want us to mature. I want us to be a spiritually strong church where people who are hurting and people who are wounded and life has beat up and life has imprisoned and they are demoralized and they are diminished and they're hurting and they're wounded, that they can come here and find strength and encouragement and find those who will pick them up and those who will walk with them, because we're all in this. Nobody's arrived yet. I have a book at home I read not too long ago, No Perfect People Allowed. Practically perfect, okay, but no perfect people allowed. And so we see this. So I want us to think about why we do this morning. Why am I asking you to do this? Why do I want you to be a part of this? Yes, we're not mature, but why make a commitment to a campaign? Why should I commit to this? So I'm going to give you 4 reasons why you need to think about this next 6 weeks in your life. why you need to be a part of what's going to happen in the next weeks in your life. All right, so if you got your outline out, you want to fill in this first blank. It goes like this. Spiritual growth must be intentional. Spiritual growth must be intentional. You got to intend to do it. Everything's that way in our life. Physically, you got to intend to grow. A child grows with intent. It doesn't happen automatically. That's the sad thing. A lot of believers become Christians. They cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm tired of following my own way. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And they cross that invisible line. They become a child of God, and they think it's automatic now. I just go to church every Sunday, and I'll grow in Christ. You'll grow to be a baby if all you do is attend church on Sundays. Anybody on board with that one? You guys are quiet on that one. You need more than that. There's an intention. It'd be like me. You know what? I need to lose some weight. I need to get physically fit. I need to work on that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit on my couch, watch a physical exercise show, and eat a bag of potato chips. And I'll get off that couch, and I'll have a six-pack, and I'll have muscles, and I'll be good, right? You know? Do we treat Christianity that way sometimes? I'm a Christian. I come. I participate. I sit there every week, and I expect to grow. You have to intend to grow. That's why I do it. That's why we do this spiritual campaign, because you have to intend to grow. Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. He's walking along the sea, and he sees a couple of guys mending their nets after fishing all night. And he walks up to these guys, and he has these words. It's there in your outline. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And look at what it says. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. They didn't understand all the implications. They didn't understand all that was involved. But they made a decision for the next 3.5 years. They didn't know how long, but it was only 3.5 years. They were going to follow that man, Jesus, who ended up being the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, who gave his life for you and I and for them to live eternity with God. And they made that decision to do that, not knowing all that was involved. But it was a commitment they made. It was a commitment and a decision. They were intentionally going to follow him. We need to do that ourselves. So I want to challenge you. You know what you're committed to is what you're going to end up doing? Think about it. I have this thing, and I maybe you're on board with me. I do exactly what I want to do. Anybody else? I do. I do exactly what I want to do. Now, there are some other things I have to do. People make me do. Anybody do that one? But the big thing in life, I'll do exactly what I want, when I want, how I want. You know, even though I'm married, you know, it's some good discussion sometimes. You know, but I'm going to do what I want to. That's the same thing when it comes to spiritual growth. You got to intend to grow. You got to make a decision to grow. You got to want to grow. That's what a spiritual campaign is all about. It's saying, hey, listen, it's time to make this decision. It's time to decide to grow. Look at the next verse. Look what it says. I want you to circle some words in this one because I think it's really important. Work out. You mean I got to work out being a Christian? I don't even like working out. You know, as you can probably tell, I don't like working out. You know, work out. Circle that. Your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in. Circle that one. You. Both to will and to work his good pleasure. God is working in you, and you got to work it out of you. Here's the challenge for me. God is working patience in me. Guess what? I need to work it out. Anybody on that one? God is working love in us. We need to work it out. God is working peace in us. We need to work it out. I don't add to my salvation. I can't add anything to being a Christian. But there are things in my life that God has placed there that I've got to work on so that they come out. Anybody on board with that one? You guys are awful quiet. Can anybody say amen to that one? You know, there's things in our life. We got to work out of our life. We got to bring them out. They got to be drawn out of our life. You know, it's not going to, it's there. I'm not going to add it to my life, but God's going to bring it out. God's going to pull it out when I start working on it. All right? You know, it's like this. I have muscles here, all right? Now, right now, there's not much. I'll agree with you there. But the muscle is there. All I got to do is what? Work it out until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it looked like that. You know? But you got to work, and that's the same thing spiritually. Wherever those are in your life, if you work it out, you become stronger spiritually. That's what a campaign is all about, is we work on these things. And it doesn't just happen by accident. It's not something that's just going to take place. It takes your effort. It takes your commitment. So that's why we do a spiritual campaign. That's why I ask you, why is it a campaign? Because you've got to commit to it. You got to say, yes, I want to grow and be like Christ. Yes, I crossed that line. Yes, I've been a Christian 47 years. But God, I'm not there yet. I still got some things to work on. I still got some battles to fight. I still got some wounds and some hurts. I still have some guilt and some other things in my life. God, I got to work those out of my life. To join that campaign, it's intentional. Spiritual growth. Do you want to grow? That's a question I want to ask you with this campaign. Do you want to grow? Yeah, I'm going to get a little later talk about that, but do you want it? But next thing I put here is this. Spiritual growth is incremental. Spiritual growth is intimate. We know that. Anybody ever have a child? Anybody here raise children? Anybody ever raise a child? You know, you pop the child out and it starts walking off, right? Some of you ladies are going, no. You know, a child born and, you know, they lay there and you're waiting for them. The first thing you're looking for, you got to roll over, right? You get so, he rolled over, yeah. Yeah. And then they start crawling, you know. Then you got to put things in the light buckets so they don't get in there and start touching everything, you know. And then they start walking. And then you run out of energy because they're running and they got all the energy, right? Yeah. Well, it's the same thing as Christians. You know, we're not born running. We got to crawl. We got to walk. We got to run. It's a growth process as Christians. You know, it takes time and it takes effort, and we need to see that it's incremental growth in Christ. And we need to understand things come a long way. And I go back to thinking my first prayer. Anybody remember your first time you ever prayed? You might remember the first time you ever prayed in public. If you haven't prayed in public, let me know. I'll work it out for you. You guys sitting there, no, not me. You know, I can still remember the first time I had to pray in public, you know, and it's like, I remember the first time I had to read the Bible in public, you know, and I had to do a devotional, and I remember the first time I had to preach. I still remember the verses I chose, you know, that first time is burned in my head, you know, those, you know, but it always starts somewhere, you know. So my, you know, it's, how's your prayer life? How's your devotional life? You know, how's your ministry? What are you doing to God? What role are you playing to strengthen God's kingdom, to be a part of God's kingdom, not just sitting around, but serving and ministering and being a part of what God is doing? See, where are you growing at? See, it's incremental. We learn to crawl and we learn to walk as Christians and we learn to run as Christians and in different areas. And like I say, for me, I love people. You know, I've had people say mean things about me. I told you, I remember that lady out in front of the church when we had the old blue church here. Gary, I hate you. You know what? I love her. I felt bad for her. Some of those know who I'm talking about. We've worked with her in our church and tried to help her in our church. And, you know, I had no problem. You know, I've got running around say I stink, calling me. I've been in that boat. Anybody get on Facebook, get called names? You know? Been there. You know what? I love people. I ain't going to let them bother me. I'm going to pray for them. If you don't like me, I'm going to pray for you because I'm a wonderful guy. You know, I'm such a lovable guy. I can't believe you don't love me. You know? But we have this going on in our lives, and we need to understand we're growing in these areas. So love is not a problem for me, but that patience issue. You know, I got to grow. I'm just, so you know, I feel I'm running with love, but I'm crawling with patience. Anybody else in that one? You know, I'm running with peace, but I'm crawling with patience. I'm kind of walking with kindness, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We got these incremental growths in our lives, and it takes time. And I like the way, again, that the scripture says it. Look at what it says here. Do your best to add these things to your lives, to your faith, add good, your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. And to self-control, add patience. Oh, I like that one. And to your patience, add service for God. And to your service for God, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness, add love. If all these things are in you, are growing, they will help you be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You see that picture here? It's a process. We're growing, and it's incremental. It's where am I at? And that's why we do these spiritual campaigns, because I don't know about you. Sometimes it's two steps forward and three back. Anybody been in that boat? You know, you go forward a couple of steps, and pretty soon you're sliding back the other way. I was watching the news the other day and watching the floods in Southern California, praying for those individuals. Some of our church members have family down in there, and I was watching all the floods and all that while we were down there. And I'm watching a car just get carried away down the hill. Anybody feel just carried away by problems? You know, just kind of mudsliding you, pushing you right on down through life. So you kind of take two steps back and two steps forward. And that's why we do a campaign. Because it's intentional. You got to make a commitment. It's going to be incremental. We're going to grow slowly but surely. It's moving forward. We're crawling. We're walking. We're running as we move through this process as Christians. But the next point, so make sure you get the picture. It's intentional. You got to make a commitment. It's incremental. You got to crawl, walk. You got to run. And the next one I put here, to me, I want to circle this one. To me, I put an X by this one, a star by this one. Spiritual growth is relational. Spiritual growth is relational. I'm going to say some things here that you might wonder about, but it's going to be the spiritual truth, and it's going to be the truth. You cannot grow without a community. Now listen, you cannot grow without a church. You hear me? You need a church in your life. The church is not the building. The church is a relational relationship. You need those relationships. Now, you get some little relationships on Sunday morning, but you need that small community relationship. I've never forgot the time I'm sitting in the hospital. One of our church members is having bypass surgery done. And I'm sitting there with his wife, and there's several of us from our small group, from our Bible study group. So there's several of us sitting on the couch, sitting on the chairs while they're in there having surgery. We're in the, what do they call that room, waiting room? And we're sitting there, and we're talking, and we're talking about church, and we're laughing, and we're visiting and having a time. We prayed, and we're having these conversations, and an elderly lady comes and sits over on this far side over there. And she sits there, and she looks over at us having this conversation and all this. And she chimes up in the middle of our conversation. Do you have to go to church to be a good Christian? And it's like, okay, well, I'm the pastor, so guess who's got to answer? They're not going to answer the question. Who's going to answer the question? Preacher, you got to answer the question for us, you know. They don't say it. They just all look at me, you know. And my question, my answer was, well, yeah, you do. And so I kind of wrapped up my conversation here and went over there and sat next to her. And as I visited with her, I found out what was going on and some things in her life. And I prayed with her and talked with her. That it makes a perfect picture. Because she didn't have a small group. She didn't have a church home. And she's sitting in a waiting room by herself with her husband having open heart surgery. For the second time in 2 weeks. Do you need a church? Do you need a church family? You want to sit in the operating room by yourself? See, the Christian life is a community. It's not just what we do on Sunday morning. It's what we do the rest of the week. It's about being part of the family of God. Anybody on board with what I'm saying here? We need the church family. We need those relationships. You are not going to grow as a Christian without a church. That sounds kind of harsh, but it's the truth. You need those relationships. Do you know in this Bible right here, there's over 50 times God says one another and each other. He challenges us with. I wrote some of these down. He says, love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, honor one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, submit to one another, be devoted to one another. I can go on and on and on. We need one another. If we're going to grow as Christians, we need one another. That's why I believe in these church growth campaigns. It's time when we pull to get with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other individuals, and we sit around and we open God's word together and we hear God's teaching, and we try to look at and wrestle with those things in our life where we can talk. It's pretty hard to talk right now, right? You're not going to say, well, Gary, I have a question. Anybody going to sit up and do that? I don't think so. You know? But you get in that small group. You know? Yeah, you know what? I'm down at Disneyland sitting around a table. And Pemby says, I have a few questions. Not about Disneyland, about the Bible. You know, and so I'm explaining this and I'm explaining that. Small group. We need those relationships. Look at what it says here. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Now, I like this. There's all sorts of different translations, but I like that spur one another on. I always think about the cowboy with the spurs. Anybody? Anybody watch John Wayne movies? Anybody? John Wayne, am I that old? You know, you got the spurs, you know. You're going to spur one another on. You know, we're there to poke one another. I'm poking you this morning, okay? You need to know I really am. You know, I came here this morning to poke you. Get in a small group. Come to church for 6 weeks. Grow spiritually. I want to poke you. I want to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Don't get mad at me. Love and good deeds, okay? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I had somebody on my trip ask me, are we getting close to the return of Christ? I mean, anybody kind of watching what's going on in our world? It's kind of like, man, it's a mess right now. I guess that day is coming. I'm poking right now. I'm going to encourage you right now. So I want to ask you, who are you crawling with? Who are you walking with? Who are you running with? You need those relationships. You know, you need those that are around you. If I live by myself, you know, I look at Gary. You know what? I look at Gary and I don't get around other people. Gary's a good guy. Practically perfect. I mean, come on. Yeah. But then I start getting with other people, and I look, man, I still got some things to go. Well, this guy's doing this, and this guy's, you know, they're, not competition-wise, but they're encouraging me to grow. You know, I'm walking to church and getting ready for church. I'm listening to a podcast by Tom Rainer, a leader in church and teaching, and I'm being encouraged. I listened to Andy Stanley preach this morning already. You know, I want to hear God's word, and they're poking me and they're encouraged. So I want to ask you, who's in you? We live in isolation. I can say I'm a good guy. Nobody, look at me. But we need one another. We need each other. It fosters strength and it encourages us. And you ever find it's easier to say when you're around a bunch of Christians than when it's in their lost world at work? See, there's just something about that. See, that's why we do spiritual campaigns, because, you know, it's that commitment, it's that process, that growing and walking and crawling, and then it's that relationships. And the last point I put down here is probably kind of brings us to where we're at, is growth is seasonal. Spiritual growth is seasonal. We don't just grow as Christians like this. I don't know about you, but you ever just grow as a Christian, just kind of just keeps going up and up and up and up and up? Or is your growth more like mine? It's kind of up and up, down, 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 anybody ever grow like, which one is yours? You know, is it just kind of, or is it, yeah? See, it's seasonal. There's times of growth. You know, we got plants, and you know, I don't know about you, I like winter in my front yard because I don't have to mow it as much. Anybody else? You know, the summer comes along. I have to mow my yard sometimes more than once a week. Anybody have to mow your yard more than once a week? Since, you know, it's just, you know. See, there's seasons in life. And even in the spiritual life, there's seasons. You know, we become a Christian and then it's springtime. Remember when you became a Christian? Kind of think back now, that time you crossed that invisible line, that excitement, that joy. I can still remember that time I accepted Christ. The joy around that youth group and the fun and the anticipation and all that was going to happen. It was a springtime, man. It's exciting and it's new, and God's word and praying and the friends, and it's all new, and there's a springtime. But you know what there is also in springtime? There are spring showers. Anybody get a spring shower right now? You know, your Christian life, you know, it's like it's exciting, but kind of got some showers in your Christian life right now. That's why we do campaigns, because even though it's an exciting, even though we're on top and it's feeling good and we're moving on, there's a shower. We do a spiritual campaign because sometimes there's shower life, you know, and then there's summer. Maybe you're at a summertime in your life, you know, it's like you're just kind of cruising. It's nice. It's warm. You're a Christian. You're kind of settled in. You kind of got some habits going, and you're just kind of cruising along. You know, you're kind of plateaued. It feels good. I'm okay. I'm not the best, but I'm okay with being just okay. And you're just kind of cruising along. Well, Spiritual Campaign says it's not okay to cruise. It's not okay to be plateaued. It's not okay to be comfortable. You know, sometimes you got to grow, and the Spiritual Campaign is going to poke you and say, hey, you know, let's not sit around and just kind of relax. It's summertime. No, it's time to grow. It's time to move on. And the Spiritual Campaign kind of steps in the summer. Maybe you're in the summertime in your Christian walk, just kind of cruising, kind of plateaued, and we have a Spiritual Campaign. You know? And then fall rolls around, right? Anybody have fall? You know, I hate fall, too. You got all the leaves. It makes a mess. You know, and fall rolls around, and things just kind of drop off, and things just kind of fall off. Maybe there's some losses in life right now. Maybe some hurts and some wounds in life right now. Maybe you've been beat up, and it's kind of the fall season in your life right now, and you're hurting, and you're wounded, and you're just kind of sitting there, and it's just not right, and it's fall in your life. And so here the Spirit is saying, hey, there's a Spiritual Campaign to bring a cool breeze into your life, the fall breeze into your life, to kind of pick you up, to kind of help you out. It's a season. It's fall. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's winter for you. You know, you're just kind of shut down. You don't care anymore. Life sucks. It stinks. You're done. You're through. You're throwing the towel in. And it's winter right now in your life. You know, just leave me alone, Pastor. I don't even know why I came this morning. I don't want to hear this, you know. And you're sitting there as Christian, and it's just, and maybe you're in the winter season in your Christian walk. And here I'm saying, here's a Spiritual Campaign to kind of bring some warmth back into your life. Kind of bring the presence of God in that springtime back into your life where God is wanting to touch your heart, and God's wanting good things for you, and that God's not done with you yet. See, there's seasons in life. There's times when we grow, and there's times when we plateau, and there's times when we just kind of rest, and there's times when we... And so we need to see that. And so a spiritual growth campaign comes along in these times in your life and says, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you stand and to help you grow and to help you move on in your life. And I'm here for you to be a part of. I like what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is one of the very first scriptures I used when I started preaching. For everything, there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. It goes on, and it's a very, if you want a great passage, I always use this with the teenagers at the state youth conference when I do taking kids to camp or the state youth conference. There's a little phrase in there that says this, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I always told the kids when we take youth trips, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain. You know? Well, there's a time for everything, and maybe, I don't know what time it is in your life. Is it winter spiritually for you? Summer for you spiritually? Is it a springtime for you? Is things just bumbling up, and it's just an exciting time? Or is it kind of like a fall, you know, and things are just kind of falling apart? You know, and here's a spiritual campaign. No matter what season is in your life, the spiritual campaign comes along and says, listen, God is here, and God's going to walk with you, and God's going to be with you, and God's going to pick you up, and God's going to help you walk through these times. See, we need spiritual campaigns. We need those times when we ourselves to grow incrementally and to move on and to step up. And yeah, it might be two forward and three back, but we're moving forward a little bit at a time. See, what I've decided in my life is I want to make sure my next low is higher than my previous low. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like I want to keep going up. It's like I don't want to get down lower than I was back here. You know, that's my challenge, because I know there's going to be times. Yeah. Right now, I'm kind of, you know, I've shared with you, I'm kind of, you know, I'm glad I'm a depressed person. It'd be kind of hard right now if I was a depressed person. You know, the weather's kind of gloomy. Ain't you like this gloomy weather? You know, you get up in the morning, it's kind of like, yeah. You know, it kind of breaks you down. You haven't even got out of bed, and you're already down because you looked outside. You're like, I don't want to even go out. But God is there, and God is in the midst of this, and God is working. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to start praying about a spiritual growth campaign in your life. I want you to start thinking about where you are Are you in the springtime of your Christian walk? Is it exciting right now? Is things happening and you're just pumped up? It's a springtime in your spiritual walk. Or maybe it is springtime, but you got a little rain falling. Maybe it's summer and you're just kind of cruising. You're just kind of cruising along in the warmth of the glow of being a Christian and you're kind of plateaued. Maybe it's fall in your walk right now. Things are just kind of falling apart. Life's just not fair, and it's hard, and it stinks, and it's fall in your walk right now. Or maybe it's winter, and you're just done. You're doubting God. You got questions, and it's just not good, and you're finished. I'm done. It's winter. Just close my door. Leave me alone. It's winter. And I want to challenge you, wherever you're at in your walk, will you think about a spiritual growth campaign this week for you? Will you think about a six-week commitment? That I'm going to come for 6 weeks and hear these messages, good or bad. I don't know what they're going to be yet. We'll find out as I preach them, okay? Yeah. Good or bad, I'm going to hear these messages. I'm going to get in a small group. I'm going to do my work. There's a little activities to do during the week. I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to challenge you. But it's going to take a commitment. I wrote it this way. If you have your little outline out, let's look at this last verse and underline this part. Give yourselves completely to work. Give yourself completely to Disneyland. Give yourself completely to toys. Your iPhone. Your tablet. Your Game Boy. Give yourself completely to school. Give yourself completely to God. That's what I'm going to challenge you with. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. I want to challenge you with that this morning. I want you praying this week. Now next week, I'm going to put a piece of paper in your bulletin. And I'm going to ask you to make a six-week commitment. Little checkbox. Even ask you to sign it, all right? Then I'm going to ask you to go back to that back table, turn it in, and get a book. And go to a group meeting that week. We have groups. There's groups on Monday night. There's groups on Tuesday night. Right now, I know we have a group Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I'm expecting one on Thursday, though I don't have a card yet on that one. I'm expecting one on Thursday morning. I think I have one on Friday. I got one on Saturday. That's what I know so far that I have. And I want to challenge you to get in one of those groups or to start your own. Matter of fact, in your work, open your worship folder up right now. Here we go, right now. Open your worship. There's a green piece. Isn't there a green piece of paper? You guys got to help me out. I'm colorblind. That's green, right? Anybody? Is that green? I hear some heads bouncing, but nobody's saying anything. It's blue? No, that doesn't look blue to me. It's green. Some of you need to facilitate a class, need to host. Now, a host isn't a teacher. I want to make sure I tell you this. You're not the teacher. You're not even the leader. You're the one with the finger with a DVD player and a TV. Or you don't even need a finger. You just need maybe your thumb on your remote. I want to encourage you to have a Bible study. If it's just you, just have a Bible study with somebody. Invite your neighbor. Invite your friend. Listen, let me give you a little hint. It's a lot easier to say, hey, will you come over and watch this with me? Than to say, hey, come over and go to church with me. Which is easier? Hey, go to church with me next week. Or hey, come over and have a birthday party with me. Hey, come over and enjoy the Super Bowl with me. Hey, come over and watch this video with me. Which is easier? See, I want to challenge you. So somebody needs to fill that out this morning, all right? You need to think about being a host. It's just open up. You can say, meet me at Starbucks. Or meet me at McDonald's. I like McDonald's. I get a big old glass of sweet tea. Get free refills. All right. You know, meet me at McDonald's and we'll have a Bible study. I don't know where it is for you. Meet me in the lunchroom. Meet me in the cafeteria at school. I'm going to pop open my computer and play in this DVD. See, I want to challenge you this morning. Do you want to grow spiritually? Where are you at? What season are you in right now? What season are you in? So I want to challenge you. Next week you're going to make a commitment. We're going to have a great time. Think about what day works for you. Think about what group you want. All you got to have is one other person, just you and one other person. Just you and one other person. That's it. I'll give you a book and I'll give you a DVD. If you and one other person will have a group and spend some time with God's word. Because here's what I know. When you lift God's word up, he draws all people into himself. That's what it says. So I challenge you with that. We're going to have groups everywhere. But I want to ask you, where are you at in your spiritual walk? Let's bow for a moment. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. Lord, life would be so easy if it all would just kind of roll along going uphill. Just spiritual growth, just nice, smooth, easy, just moving right on up. But Lord, there's storms. There's rain in the spring. There's thunder showers in the there's harsh weather in the fall. And of course, there's the winter storms. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to pray for your spiritual walk this morning. Winter, spring, fall, or summer. Where are you at? You want me to pray for you? Just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me, my walk. I'm in the summer. I'm in the spring. I'm in the fall. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who say they're walking through a season of life where they need to touch from your power. Lord, it's your Holy Spirit that fills us with joy, peace, love, patience, and those characteristics. So I ask for your Holy Spirit to rise up on them in a special way, to touch them, to lift them up. If they need encouragement, Lord, encourage them. If they need strength, strengthen them. If they need wisdom, give them wisdom. You promise that if we need wisdom, all we have to do is ask. I ask you to give them wisdom. Lord, walk with them through this season of life. Let them work out what you are already working in. But above all, pick them up. And in some way, Lord, I ask you to show them your presence, that you are real. You are there in the midst of this season of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know,